from KQED.
California paid a heavy price for Operation Iraqi Freedom. More than 470 soldiers from Alhambra to Yorba Linda gave their lives between March 2003 and December 2011. As we mark the 10th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, Josie Wong of KPCC asked a couple veterans from Southern California to recall and reflect on their experience.
We're in Simi Valley, in the second-floor apartment Oscar Barreto shares with his wife and three kids. Yes. Barreto was an Army specialist whose unit arrived in Baghdad by a long convoy of trucks and tankers.
It was like 5 football fields. It looked like a new city they just built in Iraq, just traveling through the sand.
He helped to patrol the streets of Baghdad, specially trained to look for chemical weapons. He tried to build ties with civilians using hand gestures to communicate.
Like, you want to eat, you know, we rub our bellies, we give them some food, you know, we give them water, we give them clothing.
All the while, Barreto thought about home constantly. His first son was born days after he arrived in Iraq.
And that kind of gave me the boost, knowing that I had a son to come home to.
But he was never sure if he was going to make it. And he wasn't alone. The war exposed many service members to violence, regardless of whether they were combat troops.
It's really an urban warfare. Everybody has some level of exposure.
Patricia Lester is a UCLA psychiatrist who works with Iraq war veterans and their families. She says this type of warfare, plus multiple deployments and later the use of improvised explosive devices, contributed to high rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. As high as 19% among post-9/11 veterans.
And then when you combine the numbers with traumatic brain injury, it's actually upward to about 30% estimates of folks coming back affected by their combat experiences with really invisible wounds of war.
Bobby Yen vividly remembers his war experiences. The UCLA graduate was part of that first wave of troops to occupy Iraq.
When you're asleep and there's a mortar attack, like you wake up for a second, you listen if anything happens, and then you go back to sleep. Then if there's another mortar attack, you wake up, and then you pull your armor on top of yourself, then you go back to sleep. If you don't adapt, then like you lose it a bit.
A member of the Army Reserves, Yen was embedded as a military journalist with the troops. He observed how soldiers' attitudes evolved during his year in Iraq.
In the beginning, everyone was very hard-charging and motivated, and they thought, you know, we'll find the weapons of mass destruction.
But as time wore on, Yen said morale took a hit. Soldiers began to question the basis for going to war in search of WMDs. For instance, when they were no longer asked to bring their masks with them on patrols. Even historic moments, Yen says, did little to boost spirits.
Like, oh, you know, we're allowing them to have their own elections. Okay, now they're writing their own constitution. Now we captured Saddam. Now, you know, this, that, the other. This is when something good will change and happen. But after a while, much like the threat of death, you just sort of get inured to it all. Then you just start thinking about going home.
Yen returned stateside in 2004 and left the Army Reserves to resume a career in video game design. He now works out of an airy modern house in Hollywood that he shares with his girlfriend, a cat, and a dog. But the return to civilian life has not gone as smoothly for many other veterans. As a group, veterans have higher rates of unemployment than the general population.
So the rate in January of 2013 was 11.7. The national rate, it was 7.9.
Jason Hansman of the nonprofit Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America says former military members sometimes have trouble selling their skills to civilian employers.
You know, you get discipline, you get responsibility, you get leadership in a lot of these vets, and I don't think the civilian population has really made that connection yet.
Other veterans struggle to find jobs because of disabilities, but they often can't get the help they need from the government. Hundreds of thousands of veterans are still waiting for the Department of Veterans Affairs to process their claims. With those kinds of numbers, Hansman worries some veterans might not be getting the right care, which could lead to depression and possibly suicide.
The suicide rate is still much higher than certainly people that are dying in Afghanistan due to combat. In January, the Army alone reported 33 potential suicides among active duty and reserve. That is far too high.
Oscar Barreto recognizes that he still struggles with war trauma. He feels fortunate that he's been able to see a VA counselor to talk about those recurring nightmares.
When I go through that episode, I'm going to reenact it like it's happening all over again. Are we getting attacked, or I see bodies, or I see blood?
In the middle of his sleep,
Barreto's wife, Jennifer,
he'd just sit up on the bed and just like start socking the air. Sometimes just start talking or mumbling stuff or saying like to kill something or, you know.
But Barreto says he's still glad he served in Iraq. The way he sees it, troops toppled a ruthless dictator and made life better for the Iraqis.
They had the same aspirations as we do. Nice home, food in the table. I want to work, and I want to live life abundantly.
He's trying. He has a clerical job at L.A. County Child Protective Services. A loving wife, children, and this news.
We have another one coming.
Another boy, due in June. Barreto says that this time, he'll definitely be there.
That was reporter Josie Wong of KPCC in Los Angeles.